New Testament Baptisms Part 2. Whew, what an exciting morning, amen? So exciting to see people baptized, to go down in the water. If you need a message outline, they are right here. Sounds like Elder James got happy in the tank. Do you hear him laughing? You can hear his laugh anywhere. And what a neat thing that Elder James baptized his mom this morning. Did you notice that? Janice wanted to be baptized, and so she's been baptized before, but the Lord was pulling on her heart for this new time, this new season, to be baptized again. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. When Apostle Leonard and I were ordained down at CI in 1996, we were baptized in the ocean because God had ordained us and brought us into another stage of our Christianity. And it just felt like it was the right thing to do, even though we had both been water baptized before. So sometimes the Spirit of the Lord begins to pull on your heart. And instead of trying to be very logical and asking a lot of questions, we should just allow God to be God in our lives and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to understand everything, and we're not going to understand everything. We simply move by faith in what we know God is saying to us. Amen? And so we could get real legalistic about something like that. Well, you don't have to be baptized again. But that's not what God called us to do. He called us to have faith in one another and in the Spirit of God that's on the inside of them. And as God leads their life, we just come beside them and support them and encourage them. I have learned that church is all about drawing closer to the Lord while we gather together, getting built up in the Holy Spirit, getting built up in the Word, and then we go out and we live as the church every day. Your life depends upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, the church doesn't need to be your crutch. Amen. But when we come together this morning, I can tell you are fired up this morning. Woo! You know, we're fired up this morning. Yeah, the presence of the Lord must have been stirring in your hearts all week. And we come together expecting to meet with Jesus and to be with the saints, because we do not want to neglect the gathering together. It's important. When we come together, we make a spiritual dwelling for the Spirit of God. And God comes and inhabits our praises. God comes and He speaks to us through His Word. And we are changed. We are changed. We do not leave this place the same. Tell your neighbor, you will not leave the same. You will not leave the same. Because when you gather with the saints of the Most High God, and the presence of the Lord fills our hearts, fills this place, we leave changed. Because our God is our change agent. We can't change ourselves. And I just sense there are a couple people here today that have really worked at trying to change themselves. And I hear the Lord say to you that this is a day to draw close to Him and to submit and yield your life to Him. And you are going to see great change come into your life, because that habit you've been trying to kick, you cannot kick in the flesh. That habit you've been trying to kick, the Spirit of the Lord says, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that habit. Because My power is what causes you to overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get to our lesson this morning on New Testament baptisms. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. God is stirring deep on the inside of us this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the stirring of the waters today, Lord. You're stirring the waters, and the waters are rising in our life, the water of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the living God. Lord, I thank you that your word is spirit and it's life. And Lord, as we look at your word today, God, we are made alive through your word. And God, give us the understanding that each one of us need, because you know where each one of us is at. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, last week we taught on water baptism. And this week we are taking a look at the rest of the baptisms in the New Testament. Just a brief look at them. And if you would like to study this book, this is on New Testament baptisms. It is our discipleship book, and they are available to purchase, or if you sign a commitment that you will do the devotions in this book and you will meet with another member of our congregation and be accountable to get your work done, you can have this book free. And so there is information at the Welcome Center. And you know what? We had one participant said, yes, I want the book, and I'm going to devote myself, and I'm going to be accountable to learn the doctrines of Christ. And so I'm appreciative. We had three. Wow. The number went up. Thank God. We have three. So those of you in the church that have been through this book and you are interested in meeting with someone and helping them through this study, please let me know so we can begin to pair people up. Because God called each one of us to be disciples and to disciple others. And this is a valuable resource from Larry Crider. So praise God. That's good news. Three people. So today we're going to continue. There are were four baptisms that we talked about last week. The first one was water baptism. The second one is baptism into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. Would you read it with me, please? For also by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, even all were made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So we are united by one Spirit as members of the body of Christ. And so we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We grew up in a church where we called each other. I would say, good morning, Brother Chase. Good morning, Sister Susan. You know, people would say, are you Catholic? You call people sister. Because you'd see them out, you know, and about, and it's just automatic. But it's a reminder that we are brothers and sisters. We come into the body of Christ, the family of God, and we are members together, united by one Spirit. Help me out here. One Spirit. Okay, let's look at Revelation 5:9. It talks about God's wonderful family is made up of people from every nationality, race, and culture. And we thank God for the diversity in the River of Life family. We celebrate diversity. Hallelujah. Let's read this. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open its seals. And you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. We are brothers and sisters in Christ to every believer in the world. And so I'm just going to visit our brothers and sisters in Kenya. I mean, that's where we're heading. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, all a part of the family of God. Regardless of where you came from, when you come into the family of God, one Spirit unites us. We are sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Read this one with me, 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So each one of us is born again by the Spirit of God. We're born into the family of God, and God is our Father. And He's a good, good Father. He's a good Father, and He loves us. And we each one of us, should remind ourselves that we are loved by God every day. You know, that's the position that we live our lives from, that we are loved and accepted by our Heavenly Father. Now, people in this world might not love and accept you, and maybe your natural parents didn't show love to you or accepted you, but God does. God does. And so we don't live based upon the opinions of people. Opinions, everybody has one. You know, just like everyone has a nose on their face, everybody has an opinion. But we cannot let that affect how we live our life for the Lord. And every morning, remind yourself, I am a son or I am a daughter of God. I am in the family of God. And I live my life today from a position of I am accepted and I am loved. And if I'm accepted and I'm loved, then I'm totally supported by God. We need support. We need support, emotional, mental, spiritual support from God. And that is what the Holy Spirit gives to us. When I say support, right away, our minds go towards money. Pay your support. And we do need money. But you know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you do not have that support emotionally, spiritually, mentally, from God, the true living God, you'll be miserable. You'll be miserable. A miserable millionaire. But how wonderful when a person knows God. And so it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter where you came from or what your past life was. When you come into the body of Christ, you become a member of the body, and we are each a member of the church race. So you tell your neighbor, I'm in the church race. We're in the church race. We're diverse, but we are in the church race. And so you know what? When you come into the kingdom of God and you're born into a new kingdom, you leave that behind. And you look at what God is doing in your life. There is so much fighting over the races. So much fighting. If we could just get centered in Christ Jesus. And realize that, you know what? There are odds against us. When I went to college, I felt like odds were against me because I wasn't another race. It was difficult for me to get finances because I didn't fit into their categories of where they were offering financial help. So I felt discriminated against. But you know what? God supplied my need for college. I graduated with a PhD that was totally paid for. Him. He did that. So you position yourself every morning as I am a child of God. I am loved. I am accepted. I am supported. And therefore, whatever I have need of today, God is going to help me obtain that. You've got to do something. It just doesn't drop into your lap osmosis. Hallelujah. It'd be wonderful. But sometimes we do get those blessings, checks in the mail, bills paid off, royalties received, commissions, bonuses, raises. You know, God keeps blessing us, but it's because we keep giving it to God. We keep putting it in His hands. We put Him first because He said it. Seek you first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, you know, the world spends all their time looking at what the lack is in their life and how things are so unfair for them rather than looking at the blessing of God and what God would do for them if they would just seek Him first. We have a hurting world out there, church. God is counting on each one of you to reach somebody. To reach somebody with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. that you can be a part of the family of God. You can be loved, you can be accepted, and you can be supported by the God of the universe. Think about that. Hallelujah. All right, the next baptism we're going to look at is the baptism of fire. Another kind of baptism that's mentioned in the New Testament. In Luke 3:16, read this with me, please. John answered all saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I comes, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So fire is a biblical symbol of purification and power. When we walk through the fire, we often find ourselves in trials. Trials are difficult times that we go through, are a type of the baptism of fire. Has anyone ever experienced some tough times? And you wonder, why do I have to go through this, Lord? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Well, it's because God is making you. Hallelujah. We always look for the easy way out. Amen? I do too. Or we want it to end really quick when we're in the middle of something that's difficult. It's just like, oh, can this be over? You know? Especially if you're having family problems, children problems, relationship problems. It's like, can we just end this? But God has a purpose in these things. And it's a baptism of fire. Because the difficulties that we go through are what makes us. We usually don't change when we're in the midst of feeling good and happy and everything's going fine. We don't even think about change until something happens. And then it's like, oh, we have a problem here. Lord, I need your help. And God will help us. But it's in the midst of all of that that we change. And so the baptism of fire comes in our life. So the question is, are we willing to face the impurities in our lives and allow Jesus to change them? Because often the difficulty exposes a weakness. And a lot of times we really didn't even know it was there until the pressure came and began to press us. And when something is pressed, what's on the inside begins to be revealed, right? So you press an orange, and you get orange juice, right? Press a grape, you're going to get some grape juice. And the Holy Spirit begins to press on us like it did Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was pressing on his soul, came pressing in because he knew the trial, the difficulty he was about ready to go through. And he said, Lord, if there's any other way, can this cup pass from me? And many of us have been in that same situation where we said, Lord, if there's any way, can this cup please pass from me? Must I walk through this? And if the Lord has planned it for your life, then yes, you do. The good news is God walks right with you through it. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead, sits at the right hand of the Father, prays and intercedes for us. And we have this wonderful salvation today because he was willing to go through it. And the same glory God wants to be released in your life, because people are watching you go through the press. Uh-huh. And when you respond differently than what you used to respond, they notice there's something different about Tess. Hallelujah. She's not the same as she used to be. She's been under pressure, but she is coming forth as a daughter of God, keeping an attitude of praise. See, we choose our attitude. We choose our attitude. Attitude is a choice. Nobody can make you mad. Nobody can make you upset. You choose to be mad. You choose to be upset. When we're positioned in Jesus Christ, we can be overcomers. And we can walk through that storm, even though it's raging around us, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. You know, the world does not understand that. The world just gives into their emotions. They just go into their rage. But that's what God called us to do. God called us to find our peace in Him. Staying centered in the Holy Spirit. Staying centered in the will and the mind of God. We can do that. Tell your neighbor you can do that. Count it all joy. Let's read James. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and with no reproach, and it shall be given to him. So we count it all joy when we fall into different kinds of temptations. Count it joy. That changes your whole attitude when you're in a difficult situation and you decide, I'm going to count this one as joy. I'm going to count it as joy. I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm going to count it joy. In the midst of counting it joy is when patience begins to do its work. It says, let patience have its perfect work. We let patience work in our lives. See, we can take this so many times, and I've done this, I know you've done this. You decide you're going to take control of the situation and you're going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. But in the midst of fixing it and just trying to bulldog your way through it, you are not going to be letting patience work. You're letting your soul rage. Because the soul will take control. You know, the soul has power. Soul power. And it can push when it's not supposed to push. So when we let patience have its perfect work, that means we're waiting on the leading of the Lord. And so when God tells us to move, we move. When God tells us not to move, we wait. Because God wants to work patience in us. That's how patience grows. How many people are more patient now than they used to be? Yeah. So we've been letting patience work in our hearts. You have to let it. It wants to. That's the Holy Spirit. He wants to work, but He's not going to overpower your will. Our will has to come into agreement with God's will. So have your way, Lord. And learn to count it joy. I'm going to count this one joy. I'm just not going to let it get me down. Let's go on. And we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 38 and 39, that's the fourth baptism. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit is promised to everyone. From Larry Kreider's book, he says this, the divine person of the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you when you give your life to Jesus and receive him into your life. He cares about you and has the power to help you. However, this does not mean you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Let's read Galatians 3:1. And that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So just like salvation comes by faith, so the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes by faith. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a personal act of faith. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So when we ask for the Holy Spirit, we will receive the Holy Spirit. God gives good gifts to us. And we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at Acts 10:44 through 48 and see what it says about the Spirit. Let's read together. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those hearing the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the nations also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we should not be baptized?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So this group of people received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized, and they knew they had received the Holy Spirit because they were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in their prayer language. They were praying in a heavenly language. And our bishop says that that is the language of the kingdom of God. Now we may come from different backgrounds, different nations, speak different dialects, but there is one language in the kingdom of God, in the heavenlies, and that is the Holy Spirit's language. It's your prayer language. It's praying in tongues. And throughout the New Testament, that was a witness that the people had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. What about tongues? In the book of Acts, speaking in tongues was often the initial outward sign accompanying the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And there are some scripture references for you. Acts 19:6 says, "And as Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." From Larry's book, it says, "This personal prayer language is understood by God because it is my spirit speaking to God. Speaking in tongues is a direct line of communication between me and God." And so when we pray in tongues, the devil doesn't understand what we're praying. And sometimes we get into situations that we're not sure how to pray. But when we pray by the Spirit, we pray a perfect prayer because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to pray. And so when we begin to pray in our prayer language and we begin to offer up prayer and intercession to the Lord, it's a perfect prayer. And God understands exactly what we're saying. Many people talk about why tongues. And in his book, on page 37, he talks about praying in tongues. And he says, "This personal prayer language is understood by God," what I just read to you, "and it's a direct communication." And then he goes on and he asks the question, "Should every spirit-filled believer speak with tongues then?" And he says, "Well, you don't have to. But you may." It's like going into a shoe store and getting a pair of shoes and saying, "Must I have tongues in my shoes?" No, but you take the tongues because they are part of the shoes. Praying in tongues is a blessing from God. Let's imagine that you came to my home and I gave you a meal and you say, "Must I eat this steak? Or must I eat this salad?" Well, no, you don't have to, but it is available for you as part of the whole meal. God wants us to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so the scripture tells us that we are built up by the Holy Spirit. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's go on here and finish out our study. Because tongues bypasses the devil, 1 Corinthians 14:14 through 15 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with my mind." So we pray two ways, and both are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, the Lord knows exactly what we are praying, because it is that direct line to God, and the devil does not understand. But we also pray prayers that Jesus asked us to pray in the Scripture, and we pray with our mind, and we'll pray in English. But there are times when we pray in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Jude says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." God wants us to be built up because He wants us to be powerful witnesses of the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray in tongues, there is something that begins to churn on the inside of us, which is the power of God. And God said He would baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that we would be witnesses of the kingdom of God. You see, baptism with the Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift from the Lord. It isn't something that was meant to come to divide Christians, to cause people to argue over it. People argue over whether or not you should speak in tongues. That's not it. The scripture says it's a gift for us. Can we just open up our hearts, open up our mouths, and receive what God has for us? The scripture says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" So have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 5:18, my last verse says, "And do not be drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit."